I'd like tonight to look at the life and ministry of a man called Daniel. A man called Daniel, who staggered this world as few men ever have in history. He staggered this world as few men have in history. If one were to be honest, I wonder if, on your one hand, naming those who shook this world more than any other known man in history, Daniel would be one. Beyond doubt to me that God was glorified through his life in such a way that this world staggered through him. During his lifetime, there were four great kings who ruled most of the known world. There was Nebuchadnezzar, king and founder of the Babylonian Empire, whose armies marched against nation upon nation, just crushing them. Nothing stood in his way. He conquered the known world, coming in 505 BC to Israel, conquering, crushing Israel, killing their king, bringing great shame on him. And then Judah. And the armies of Nebuchadnezzar took the cream, the elite of the young people. Young people like Daniel, from nobility, from the royal household, the refined, the elite of the youth, of the young men, taken from nation upon nation upon nation captive. The armies took young Daniel as a teenager, away from his home, away from his land, with many multitudes of others, back to Babylon to be groomed, to be trained, to serve the king in the palace at Babylon. After Nebuchadnezzar, there was a king called Belshazzar, who was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, who continued to rule the world that his grandfather had conquered, the empire his grandfather had conquered. Belshazzar, after Belshazzar, there was a man, a king called Darius, a good man, a noble man, who loved Daniel. Darius the Mede. King Darius the Mede. And then finally, there was Cyrus, the Persian, who ruled over the Medo-Persian Empire, one of the greatest empires the world has ever known in history. Cyrus of the Medo-Persian Empire. The staggering thing about these kings is each one who ruled the world, most of the known world during Daniel's lifetime, were so staggered by this man called Daniel, each one, that their lives altered course through one man. Their consciences would not then allow them to recover from what they saw in this man, what they heard from this man, and what God did through this man. They were staggered through this man's life that they could not ever be the same. Their consciences wouldn't allow them to be. Through his humility, his honesty, his transparency, his faithfulness, his faith in his God, his faithfulness to his God, no matter what the cost. And oh, did it cost him. Oh, did it cost him. But above all, they were staggered in God's faithfulness to him. The way God shook this world through Daniel staggered these kings, each one of them. But why? Daniel became a household name across the known world. He was feared by multitudes. He was revered by multitudes. He was honored. above other men all over the world by the greatest men that ruled the world. They singled him out and honored him. Why? Why did God and man so revere and honor this man, as few men have been in history honored? His life brought such glory to God that few men have ever been used in history across the world in their lifetime to turn the eyes of the known world to God and acknowledge that this is the living God, the God of Daniel. Why did God and man so honor and revere and fear many this Daniel? I'd like tonight, together with you, to look for the answers in this holy book. I'd like to look at the heart of the book of Daniel for the answers as to why God and men so honored him above most men in history. I'd like to look at the central chapter, chapter 6, where we read, It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom, and 120 princes, It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom, and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred. Above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. But what does that mean, beloved? What does it mean? Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. What does that mean? I believe that the same thing was said of David. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14, listen carefully. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. I believe the same thing was being said of Daniel. When this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. It was because he behaved himself like David, wisely, in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. The king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion, no fault. They could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. What a testimony. They found that he was uncompromisingly faithful in his work. They found that he was uncompromisingly faithful in his work, in his duties and responsibilities allocated to him in the kingdom, in the palace. He was uncompromisingly faithful in his work. Tell me, does the world know that of you, child of God? I want you to answer God, every one of you, right now. If you're not here for God, why did you come? What are you doing here? If you came here for God, I want you to answer God right now. Does the world know that of you who name the name of Jesus, of this God as your Savior? God expects it of us. God expects it of us. Listen, Philippians 2 verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, like Daniel was, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, just as Daniel was. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. I want to shock you. You cannot hold forth the word of life ever in your life to anyone in this world unless you are blameless and harmless. The sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. 1 Peter 3 verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. God expects that of us, that because of our lives, anyone who would rebuke or find fault will be ashamed. They may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Oh my. Then the presidents and princes sought. Isn't that terrible? Sought. That's how wicked they were. Sought to find occasion. Anything they could condemn him or ruin him or destroy him with. They sought to find occasion against Daniel. But they could find none occasion, no fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. I wonder if I could ask you, please, just because I cannot concentrate, if there's somehow we could have the facilities downstairs used, forgive me for that. I cannot just concentrate and forgive me. I'm not strong enough. They found that he was uncompromisingly faithful concerning the duties and responsibilities allocated to him in his workplace. Does the world know that of you, child of God? Is that your testimony? Can you answer God deep in your hearts? Please, please. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What were they thinking of? What was in these evil men's minds? Well, beloved, they obviously remembered what you and I remember of Daniel. That's in chapter 1. They remembered that right from a young teenager, because they also had come as young teenagers from all parts of the world, brought captive, they from godless lands, but they remembered something about this one teenager. That right from the start, what chapter 1 says, Daniel purposed in his heart as a teenage boy that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He would not break and go against the commandments of God. He would not, no matter what it cost him, no matter what the results, the consequences, he would not defile himself. They remembered that no matter what it cost him, he wouldn't compromise concerning the commandments of God, concerning the scriptures. They found that he was uncompromisingly faithful concerning the commandments of his God, concerning the standard of the scriptures of his God. Tell me, does the world know that of you? Can you answer God? You that name the name of God as God's child, that the unsaved know, profess to be a child of God. Is that your testimony? Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What were these evil men thinking of? Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree. Establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree, Now, when Daniel knew, that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. And gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Oh, they found now that he was uncompromisingly faithful in his devotions. He was uncompromisingly faithful in his devotions, in time set aside to commune with his God, to make intercession, to fellowship with his God. Nothing, no matter what it cost. And he knew. He knew what they were about. When Daniel knew, he just played into their hands, or did he? I believe that no matter what it cost him, no matter what the cost, nothing would divert him from his set times of discipline. Communing with God, interceding, worshiping, communing with God. Oh, beloved, they found now that he was, no matter what the cost, uncompromisingly faithful concerning his devotions to his God. Nothing would divert him, no matter what it cost him. Tell me, is that your testimony? Is that your testimony, child of God? No matter what it costs you to keep it, no matter what it costs you, nothing will ever divert you from God. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. Now that is of great significance. 3 times a day. Because the same was said of David, who we've already compared with Daniel. In Psalm 55, verse 17, David said, "Evening and morning and at noon, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice." These two men had 3 times when they separated everything in life to come alone with God, to cry aloud, that they disciplined their lives, that they would not compromise. They were uncompromisingly faithful concerning the keeping of these set times to commune with their God, to be alone with God. Now, beloved, I believe as a result of these times that nothing would ever keep them from, there emerged 2 men into this world as a result of these times alone that nothing ever kept them from, no matter what it cost them. There emerged into this world 2 men who behaved themselves wisely in all their ways, and the Lord was with them. If ever that will be said of you in your life, it will be as a result of emerging from these times that nothing will ever divert you. Tell me,
Is that your life? You will never be known in this world or stagger this world by saying, I'm saved. By having a testimony of coming out in some meeting. By coming even to churches. By traveling distances. No, no. By giving great tithings, you won't stagger this world. You will never, ever have the testimony of these men. That men will fear you who are hypocritical and threatened by anyone better than them. Men will try and destroy you. But all noble and men of integrity will esteem you above others because you will behave yourself wisely in all your ways. That will be your testimony. And the Lord was with him. That will never be said of you until this is your life. This emerging from these times that nothing will divert you from. Nothing will divert you from. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I love that. God doesn't tell us what he prayed. Have you noticed that? God doesn't let us know. We can surmise what he prayed. He must have spoken to God about the situation he was in. He knew what these men were about. He must have brought it and committed to God. But God doesn't tell us exactly what he says. He just prayed. But God does tell us this. And this is of great significance that God tells us this. He didn't just pray. He gave thanks. He gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Oh, that's precious. That's precious. Philippians 4 verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't be fearful of anything that comes on you, God says. But in everything, in any circumstance you face in life, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I believe there's something about someone who doesn't stop praising when things go wrong, that God's peace floods their hearts. But those that stop praising, that's about how real you are. You're as real as you are, as when everything comes against you. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Now, beloved, it's easy to praise God when everything's going right. Does that mean anything to God? Is there any value there? I wonder. But when God allows everyone to turn against you, when God allows evil men to rise up against you and try and destroy you, when things come against you that could destroy you, when the devil takes hold of, when everything comes against you, tell me, do you come to God and suddenly you're no longer a worshiper, you're a murmurer, bitter and angry against God? Angry on your knees and, oh, God's failing me. Why, God, why? Oh, you forget to praise. There's no peace ever experienced in the heart of a man who doesn't praise. I want to meet one Christian that finds any element of peace just coming to God moaning. Tell me, are you a perfect worshiper of God? Or are you a perfect murmurer? Will you answer God? When it proves what you are in truth when things go wrong. Because when things just go right, nothing is being proved at all. Even an unsaved person can shout hallelujah. How real are you when everything comes against you? With thanksgiving. Don't forget that, child. Don't stop now, child. Something of an obligation to this holy God, it seems.
that comes and floods the heart with peace that passes all understanding. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. So keep your heart, Daniel, and mind, no matter what comes up against you from Satan through evil people. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. So keep your hearts and minds. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall make a petition, shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they, and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Know, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded. They brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. And his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up
out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones and pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell upon all the earth. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear. Oh, hallelujah. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages which dwell up that dwell upon all the earth, peace be multiplied unto thee. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, beloved, they found firstly that he was uncompromisingly faithful. Uncompromisingly faithful concerning the duties and responsibilities allocated to him by the king. He was uncompromisingly faithful in his work. Does the world know that of you? Does the world know that of you, child of God? Is that your testimony? They found, secondly, that he was uncompromisingly faithful. Uncompromisingly faithful concerning the commandments of his God. Does the world know that of you, child of God? Does the world know that of you? Is that your testimony? They found, thirdly, that he was uncompromisingly faithful concerning his devotions, concerning the set times, no matter what it cost him. When he knew it could cost him his life, they found he was uncompromisingly faithful concerning his devotions, the times of intercession with his God, of communing with his God, and of worshiping his God. Nothing would divert him, no matter what the cost. Is that your testimony? Is that your testimony? You who say you're the child of God. Then they found other things that staggered them. They found that he had an uncompromising Christ-like spirit, even though it was the Old Testament. Listen to this carefully. 1 Peter 2:19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Do you know what Daniel's name means? God is my judge. And he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
He had an uncompromising Christ-like spirit, though he was in the Old Testament, without all the light and privileges you and I have. He didn't defend himself. He could have, with his authority, with the love the king had to him. He could have challenged them before he went and prayed. He could have really caused trouble knowing what they're about. He didn't fight back. He didn't defend. He didn't go to them and challenge them. He just left it to God and stayed faithful to God and shook them as they sought and sought and sought. Oh. It was said of Jesus, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Is that your testimony? Who leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps? You see, God says, be still and know that I am God. But when you are not willing for that and you start doing the fighting, everything will go wrong every time you ever try to fight back. I guarantee you. Don't blame God for the mess that comes. Don't even blame the people that you're fighting. It was you, sir. You, lady. All that grief, had you just committed it to God, carried on worshiping him, you would have shaken the world, and God would have sorted them out. Lost. Can that be said of you? What they found of Daniel in the Old Testament, though they knew nothing about Christ, they saw Christ in a man. Lived. Does the world see that which Christ revealed when they crucified him, when they hated him? They found that he had an uncompromising Christ-like spirit, though he was in the Old Testament. And then they found something else out to their shock. And to their dismay, they found that as a result of his uncompromisingly faithful life to God, as we've considered, God was uncompromisingly faithful to answer his prayer of faith. What he prayed when he was alone 3 times, once he knew. Listen. They found that as a result of his uncompromisingly faithful life to God and his faith in God, God was uncompromisingly faithful to him. 1 John 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There's no promise in this book that hasn't got a condition. For you to fulfill before salvation, to get saved, and after salvation, you won't find a promise concerning this life anyway. It hasn't got a condition in its context. You don't have to go far. If you can't find it in the same verse, just look for the 3 verses or 3 after. There's a condition. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayer. I could go on and on and on. Oh, if our heart condemn us not then. Have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. This faith that doesn't waver, as James says, is the result of a life that doesn't condemn us and takes away faith that God could answer us. They found, to their shock and dismay, that because of his uncompromisingly faithful life to God, as we have considered, his uncompromising faithful life in all these things, his God was uncompromisingly faithful to protect him and honor him. And then there's something they didn't find, because they were dead. But something you and I find, something wonderful. We find that because of this man's uncompromising faithfulness in his life and walk with God before men and before God, because of his uncompromisingly faithful life to God in all these things we've considered tonight, that his God was glorified in an incomprehensible way through his life, during his lifetime. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages which dwell upon all the earth, peace be multiplied unto thee. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. Here was a king who ruled the world, most of it, who made a decree, and you didn't play the fool with that decree. That in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. I love that. Because of this incomprehensible glory was brought to his God through his life. In his lifetime, and since his lifetime, hundreds of millions of people have considered his life in awe and reverence to this night. To this night. God so honored him. He is the living God. Steadfast forever. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know to what degree they were saved in the light of eternity, but I like to believe they were. Do you want to know why? You might think proselytism in the Old Testament was just those outside of the Israelite nation were accepted by the covenant by acknowledging and coming with the blood and everything else involved in the Old Testament. Just think of how many people turned to this God through one man. Think of Jonah, who went to the Ninevites, who were so evil, so wicked, that they were feared as the most evil, wicked. Jonah didn't even want to go and preach to them. They were so evil. They were evil and wicked. These men, the whole nation from the king down, fasted and prayed and wept, just crying out to God for days upon days on their faces, weeping, not eating. They don't even want to drink water. Crying out for mercy. Do you honestly believe that God just forgave him for the initial impact that moment, and that it had nothing to do with the rest? He just sent them to hell anyway. They acknowledged the God of Jonah. Think about this. Think about this God of love. They acknowledged him enough to do what most people who talk about Christianity don't do. They were so desperate to seek this God, and they're acknowledging, asking forgiveness, in repenting, turning from their sins, acknowledging him as God and serving him. Don't think they just stopped once God spared them. I believe there was something of eternal. I believe men like Daniel, I don't know how many throughout Darius's empire, found something of a obedience to what their king said concerning this man Daniel, who they all talked of. What God did through them. Oh, they revered. They heard the story more vividly than you and I could. It was just passed, whispered, spoken, cried out, told all across the old empire. Oh, in every dominion of my kingdom, I want men to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel.
He is the living God. They acknowledged him as God. I wonder how many did turn. Did you know Cyrus, king of the greatest of all these empires, by the way, when it comes to dominion, Cyrus, the Bible said, served God. He served the God of Israel. Consciously, he knew he was serving the God of Israel. This man from a nation that had nothing, who ruled the world, served God, the Bible says. And history tells us how he acknowledged the God of Israel through men like Daniel. Do you know what percentage of the world turned to God in the generation such men lived and walked with God in such a way? Whether they'll be up there, you can argue, but I hope to believe it wasn't just for the innocent moment, that God did something of eternal value in their acceptance, reverence, and acknowledging him, bowing before him, whether it was a king down to those in the kingdom who did obey in their hearts. And what they heard, their belief came. They acknowledged, as the king acknowledged, this is the living God. This is the true God. Daniel ends with chapter 12 with staggering words, you know, in chapter 12, verse 3. They that be wise. Do you remember what was said of him? The same thing that was said of David. He behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. They that be wise, Daniel says. They that turn many to righteousness. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. Oh, you know who turned people to righteousness in heaven forever. They're going to shine in a way, those of you that just scraped through by grace. And oh, God's grace is great, but no one else was affected, because you never lived the things we've considered tonight. I want to shock every one of you now, and I hope you're not offended. The next split second of this night is the beginning of the rest of your life. If you don't start right now, whether you're a young boy or an old man, if tonight isn't the beginning of all these things, that nothing will divert you till you die. If you don't start with all your heart to apply your life to the things you've heard tonight, you're never going to. You choose God's second best. Sorry, tenth best. Choice is yours. The God who said, my word shall not return unto me void, also said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he said that to his people. Can we stand?